ברוכים הבאים רבותיי. Welcome to another edition of the Thursday night class. We are studying tonight parashat Ki Tisa. A parasha begins Ki Tisa et Rosh Bnei Israel, when you will count the Jewish people. You cannot count Jewish people by heads, so you need to take a half a coin. The coin is called Ma'asit HaSheker. And that Ma'asit HaSheker, the Torah says, is a kapara. Lechaper al nafshotechem. Tonight we came to explain, in principle, the anyan of the Ma'asit HaSheker. But first, there are some very interesting derash that's said by the Ben Ish Hai, the Ben Yosef Haim, the Baghdad. He's questioning the word Ki Tisa, the word Ki, Chaf Yud, Ki Tisa et Rosh Bnei Israel, which literally means, as I said, when you will count the heads of Bnei Israel. But he explains as follows. First interpretation. If you remember in last week's Shi'ur, we discussed that Moshe Rabbeinu's name was missing from Parashat Tetzaveh. And we explained why was this so? Because what he said in this week's Parashah, Meheni na misifrecha shir katavta. So since he said, erase me from the book, so he had to be erased. The word of the tzaddik is binding. But why Parashat Tetzaveh? So the Ben Ish Chai said, because he said misifrecha. Misifrecha is misifer chaf. From the 20th book. And Parashat Tetzaveh is the 20th Parashah in the Torah. There's 12 Parashiyot in Bereshit, and Tetzaveh is the 8th Parashah in Shemot. So, Misifrecha, Misifer Chaf. So, it's almost as if he said it. But now the Ben Ish Chai says a Hiddush that we didn't say last week. He says that we always look at it that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is missing from the parashah. It's a punishment. It's something bad. It's a negative. Ben Ish Chai says, no, it's a good thing. It's because the Satan was very angry at the Jewish people after the sin of the Egel. And in order to appease him, you have to throw him something. You have to give him a bone. You have to do something so he won't be mekatreg. So he won't be prosecuting. So he writes, by taking Moshe Rabbeinu's name out of the parashah, the Satan says, ah, we got him. Hey, this is good. He feels good and he leaves Bnei Israel alone. So on the contrary, Moshe Rabbeinu is happy, let his name be taken out of the parashah and let the Satan be satisfied with such a punishment. But the Ben Ish Chai writes that not only does the word misifrecha mean misifer chaf, from the 20th book, but Misifrecha can be read Mispar Chaf, the number 20. Erase me from the number 20. Erase me from the number 20. If you look later on in Sefer Bamidbar, the Pasuk says, Vahish Moshe Anav, Mikola Adam. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person. How do you spell the word Anav? Ayin Nun Yud Vav. But look at the Torah, it's missing a Yud. There's no Yud over there. What happened to the Yud? So the Ben Ish Chai writes that Moshe Rabbeinu asked for that Yud to be removed. And that's what he meant, Mispar Chaf, because the letter Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalet, and Yud Vav Dalet equals 20. So he's saying, Meheni na Mispar Chaf, take away that Yud Y, again, to throw it to the Satan. When the Satan sees that the humility of Moshe is missing, he says, ah, see that? He's not perfect. See that? It's missing a Yud. So the Satan feels as if he gave it to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I accept it, no problem. Give it to me instead of Bnei Israel. So his two requests were accepted. Misefer Chaf and Mispar Chaf. That's why he was erased from Parashat Chaf, the 20th Parashah, and that's why the Yud of Anab was taken away. I'll read you the Lashon of the Ben Ish Chai just to get a flavor. Bezeh kiven lehasbiya enav shel Satan. He did it to satiate the eyes of the Satan. Be'oto hisaron ze bepatronam shel Yisrael. When he sees the deficiency in the patron of Am Yisrael. Now we understand the first pasuk. Ki tisa et rosh b'nei Yisrael. Who's rosh b'nei Yisrael? Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu would cause a kapara for the Jewish people, that the Satan would be appeased. What appeased them? The key, the chaf and the yud. The chaf, parasha, and the yud from Anav. Ki tisa et rosh b'nei Yisrael. The rosh b'nei Yisrael dealt with the chaf and the yud. And as a result, this was considered kapara for Am Yisrael. He says a different derash. The Gemara says that when you anoint the Kohen Gadol, it says you have to take Shemen HaMishcha, the special oil, and you anoint it on his head. So the Gemara says, what's the proper way to anoint it? So the Gemara says, Osin oto kimin ki. You do a key. So the Gemara says, what is a key? So Gemara says, ki is actually a Greek letter. It's in the Greek alphabet. Alpha, beta, gamma. So it is ki. So the Gemara says, you have to make the shape of the letter ki on his head. Well, what's the letter ki? So the Gemara says, it's like the letter A that we have in our alphabet. One side goes up, and the second side comes down. There's just no horizontal line across. The Beit Shai says, why do you make the shape of a key on the head of the Kohen Gadol? Because the job of the Kohen Gadol is to send a Shefa up, and then as a result, God sends a Shefa down. So the way the key is written, it starts Miletata Le'ela, and then it goes Mele'ela Le'tata. It goes from down to up, and then up from down. So he says, where do we have a hint to this halakha? In this week's parasha, Ki Tisa Et Rosh B'nei Yisrael. Who's Rosh B'nei Yisrael? The Kohen Gadol. And when you anoint him, ki tisa et rosh, you have to put the key on his rosh. Third interpretation. The Gemara writes in Shabbat, Kola Omer Reuven Hata Eno Ela To'e. Anybody that thinks that Reuven, the tribe, made a sin, he's making a mistake. What is the Gemara talking about? What sin? Gemara says after, the Torah says, after Rachel Imenu passed away, Yaakov Abinu took his bed and he moved it to the tent of Bilhah. Reuven went and took the bed and moved it to his mother's tent, Leah. That's all he did. It's considered a sin. But the way the Torah writes it is that he went with his father's concubine. So the Gemara says, Hat v'shalom. Don't think that he actually went with his father's concubine. He moved some furniture around. How do you know? Maybe he actually did it. Maybe the Torah is written literally and it should be read as if it is. Do we have a proof from the Torah that Reuven was free from this sin? Ben Ishai says, I have two proofs. Proof number one is when Yaakov was blessing his children. Before he passed away, he called his grandchildren in Ephraim and Menashe. And he told them, even though you're not tribes, but I'm upgrading you to the level of tribes. Ephraim u'Menashe kir'uben v'shim'on yehiyuli. That means Ephraim, you're going to be like Reuven. Ephraim kir'uven. So from the fact that Yaakov Abinu was comparing Ephraim to Reuven, must be Reuven was a tzaddik. He's not going to compare him to somebody that was guilty of such a crime. So he says, the key over there is the chaf of Reuven. Ephraim kir'uben. The chaf makes the demyon. The chaf makes the comparison. Go to Parashat Pinehas, when the Torah is listing the Shevatim. So the Torah lists all the tribes and their children. This is the family of Yehuda. This is the family of Binyamin. This is the family of Yisachar. This is the family of Zebulun. When it comes to Reuven, it says, Ele Mishpehot Haruveni. It adds a yud at the end of the name. It doesn't say Ele Mishpehot Reuven. It says Haruveni. The Gemara says, what's the yud over there? Because the yud comes from Hashem's name. God had to put the yud in Reuven's name, Reuveni, to testify he's a tzaddik. He did not commit the avera of arayot with bilha. That's why God says, I could put my signature on his name. The other shevatim didn't need a signature because there was no questions on them. But Reuven needed an extra hatima, an extra seal from God. So what two letters prove to us that Reuven's a tzaddik? The chaf of Kir'uben and the yud in the Uveni. So he writes the Ben Ishai, Ki tisa et rosh b'nei Yisrael. Who's the oldest of b'nei Yisrael, of the children of Israel? Reuven. He's rosh b'nei Yisrael. Who says he's elevated? Ki tisa, the letters chaf and the letters yud. Ki tisa et rosh b'nei Yisrael. That elevates Reuven, who's rosh b'nei Yisrael. Good. In Midrash Belo Chidush. We came here tonight, we said three Dirash from the Ben Ish Chai. Just one story of the Ben Ish Chai, if I may. Motzei Shabbat, they invited me to speak somewhere in Brooklyn for an organization. After the Dirash was over, I had mentioned the Ben Ish Chai in the Shi'ud. So a fellow came to me. He said, Rabbi, I want you to know my grandfather was the shohet of the Ben Ish Chai. His personal shohet in Baghdad. That's incredible. He said, I'm going to tell you a story. Not too many people know it, but we know it because it happened to his grandfather. One time the Ben Ish Chai came to Erev Shabbat or Erev Yom Tov, and he told him, I need you to make shohita for me. It's okay. He made shohita, gave him the meat. The Ben Ish Chai says, I don't have money to pay you now. I'll pay you after Shabbat. No problem. The Shohet sees the Ben Ish Chai's son Eliyahu. He says, Hacham Eliyahu, I didn't want to tell your father, but I need the money. I don't have money for Shabbat. He didn't pay me. I didn't want to bother the rabbi. He says, no problem, come with me. He takes him to the roof. There's a box on the roof. He opens the box. There's more gold coins than the eye can see. The Ben Ish Chai son tells the Shohet, take as many coins as you want. He took Meloch Ofnav, Menach Ketoret. He took a handful of the coins. He would become rich from this. He went, Shabbat Shalom. Sunday, he sees the Ben Ish Chai. So the Ben Ish Chai says, hey, let me pay you. No, no, don't worry. Your son took care of it already. What do you mean my son took care of it? So he found out the story. He says, yeah, he took me to the roof, the coins. So when the Ben Ish Chai heard this, he turned to his son. He told him, how many times did I tell you not to use the Shema Meforash in order to make these magic tricks like you did? This was the rebuke they used to give their children in the olden days. If I told you once, I told you 100 times, don't use the Shemot HaKiddushim. This was the sins of the earlier generations. The kids were mischievous. They used to use the Shemot in order to make gold coins. Alvai, this is the averot of the child of the Ben Ish Chai. But tonight, we came really to discuss the beginning of the parasha, this mitzvah Mahasit HaShekel. Two questions always bothered me in the story of the Mahasit HaShekel. First question is, why is it Mahasit HaShekel? Half a coin. It's not a lot of money. A person that can afford a half a coin can afford the full coin. It's either 50 cents or a dollar. So, give a dollar, what do you have to make trouble? Mahasit HaShekel. Anyway, the money goes to tzedakah. The Torah says it's a kapara. Lechaper. I'm not too sure what type of kapara it is. You give a half a coin, you get kapara. What sin exactly is this mechaper? I'm not too sure. That's a new way of getting kapara. I read the Rambam, he tells me kapara, you have to say hatati, aviti, pashati, vidui. Now we have a new kapana. You make a sin, take 50 cents, put in the box, lechaper. My second question that bothered me, a few months ago in the Daf HaYomi, we were learning Masechet Shekalim. That's the Masechet that talks all about this mitzvah Machzit HaShekel. So I asked a simple question at the time. They should call it Masechet Machzit HaShekel. Why do they call it Masechet Shekalim? Shekalim is a full coin. So you can say, okay, that was my question. You like it, you like it. You don't like it, you have to like it. But this is my diyuk. So in order to understand the secret of Ma'azit HaShekel, what it comes for, and what it atones for, we need the following introduction. And the Ben Ishchai writes this Yesod many times. And the Ben Wari talks about it. There's two parts to every mitzvah. There's actually three parts, but the two parts are primary. Number one is the ma'aseh, the action. We cannot deny that. You could talk about the mitzvah and learn about the mitzvah from here till tomorrow, but lo ha-midrash ikar, el ha-ma'aseh. You could study all the Masechet Shabbat and all the Lamed Tet Melachot, but you have to keep the Shabbat. You can't say, no, I learned it. Ma'aseh, you have to do and perform the mitzvah. You could be an expert on the laws of tefillin or hadlakat ner Shabbat, but if you don't put on tefillin and you don't like the ner Shabbat, it's worthless. You need action. This world is called olam ha'asiyah, the world of deeds. Fine. But that's only half the mitzvah. The second part of the mitzvah, which I'm going to argue tonight, is just as important and might be more important. That's the mahshaba. That's called kavana. To do the mitzvah with intention, with thought, with understanding. You say to yourself, of course, why else are we doing the mitzvah? The reason why most religious people today, and I'm not putting an umbrella over everybody, their mitzvot are done out of habit. They're habitual. Because we're so used to fulfilling mitzvot, they become almost second nature. A man wakes up in the morning, instinctively his mouth starts to say Berchot HaShachar. He goes to the Bet Knesset, automatically the hands put on the talet and the arms make the tefillin, and he opens the siddur and prays. It's like a robot. It's almost as if he's programmed. But to stop before you put on the tefillin and say, I'm putting on the tefillin because Hashem commanded me to put on the tefillin, v'hi no'am Hashem Elokeinu. The tzaddikim say, it's not enough just to open a book and learn Torah. Daf Yomi, every day, 2,800 days in a row. We come in, we open the book. The Ben Wari says, before you sit down in front of a Gemara, you have to say, I am now about to connect my soul to the Neshama Elyona, to the upper soul, through the study of Torah, and let God send light, or from the upper Neshama down to my soul, and let it enter me. Wow, that's Machshava. Why do I say that the machshava might be even more important than the ma'aseh? Don't misunderstand. You need to do the ma'aseh. You can think about the mitzvah all day long, but if you don't do the mitzvah itself, you don't get credit. But once you're doing the ma'aseh, you must include machshava, kavana. Why? I'll tell you what the Zohar says, and I'll tell you what the Prophet said. The Zohar writes that a mitzvah without machshava does not have wings. does not have the ability to go up. It doesn't have flight. It doesn't have lift. The mitzvah almost remains on a low level. The machshava, when a person is doing the mitzvah, avirat shamayim, ahavat Hashem, those are kavanot. The excitement, the enthusiasm, that already puts wings on the mitzvah, and now it's able to go up. The Navi said stronger. The Navi Yeshaya rebukes the Jewish people and says, Yir'atem, or Yir'atem oti, or Yir'atam oti, your fear to me, God says, Mitzvat Anashim Milumada. Mitzvat Anashim Milumada means you did the mitzvot out of habit, like a mechanical machine that just runs automatically. That's called mitzvat anashim milumada. You did it out of hergel. When a person does something out of routine, they call it hergel. Why? Hergel comes from the word regel. What's the connection? When a person walks, he doesn't think, I'm going to pick up my leg, put down my leg, pick up my leg, put down my leg. When you walk, your legs walk by themselves. You don't have kavanah when you're walking. It happens by itself. So we call a person that does mitzvot in an ordinary way without kavanah, this hergel. It's like the regel. So the prophet calls that mitzvat anashim milumada. It's like a ma'aseh kof. It's like the action of a monkey. So what's the consequences? Lachen, hineni yosif lafli et ha'am hazeh hafle vafele. The prophet says God is going to bring makot on the people. Hafle vafele, wonder of wonders. Not just stam makot, great makot. Who are you talking to? You're talking to people that are Shomrei Torah Mitzvot. These are people the Prophet's not saying, you're delinquent, you're not observant, you don't keep the Mitzvot. No, he's talking to Orthodox religious Jews. This speech was given to Bnei Torah. He came to the Bet Knesset, everybody was wearing tefillin, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The ladies were all modest, everybody's doing the right thing. And the Navi says, this is not called service. This is called mitzvat anashim milumada. Nobody knows why they're doing anything. Nobody's thinking. Everybody's doing it in a state of confusion, without any machshava. And the punishment for that is great. And the Satan knows it. The Satan knows it. That's why it doesn't bother him if we do mitzvot. His main fight is not in the hands. His main fight is not in the legs. His fight's in the head. Here's where he battles us. So that's why when a person gets up to pray to Amidah, he prays to Amidah. Ask him what type of kavanah he had. That's another story. Satan doesn't mind you to pray to Amidah. Pray three times a day. Halvai sheet palel adam kol hayom. But once he starts the Amidah, boom, the wine starts wandering. Tefillin, guy said, I didn't miss a tefillin since my bar mitzvah. Tell him, you know why you put on tefillin? What's the kavanah? It's kavanot. No, I don't mean kavanot of the Rashash. Kavanah of the Shulchan Aruch. It's Yat Mitzrayim, Yehud Hashem. I didn't know. Tzitzit are supposed to remind you of the Taryag mitzvot. So that means everybody that put on their talit this morning, before they put it on, they said, this is reminding me of 630 mitzvot. Or did you just put it on? And he said, hollow, empty. So God says from the prophet, these are mitzvot that are done milumada. There's consequence. The consequence is not a good consequence. Lo alinu v'lo alechem. There's a rabbi called the Kiddushat Zion. He's quoting a pasuk in Megillat Esther. He says, we have in our religion 248 mitzvot. Ramah. Ramah mitzvot. Mitzvot aseh. He said, but really, it's not 248, it's 496. Because each mitzvah has two parts. There's the action and there's the machshava. So therefore, each one could be times two. So altogether, there's 496 parts of the positive commandment. He says, the Satan doesn't care for you to fulfill half. That's the action. But the machshava, he'll fight you on. So he brings a remez. The pasuk writes, "Vayomer haMelech leEstmelech Ahashverosh leEster haMalka." The king Ahashverosh tells Queen Esther, "Bemishteh hayayin, ma she'elatech v'yinaten lach. Ask me for whatever you want. Uma bakashatech, and what's your request? Ad hatzi haMalchut. I'll give you up to half the kingdom, v'te'as, and it'll be done." He says, who's Ahasuerus? Ahasuerus is the Satan. Always the rabbis, when they find a bad guy, he's the Satan, he's the Paro, that's the Satan. Amalek, that's the Satan. And they're right. So they say, Ahasuerus, that's the Satan. And who's Esther? Esther's Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, the Neshama. So what does the Satan tell the Jewish person, the Neshama? What is your request? Ad hatzi hamalchut. The word malchut equals 496. So the Satan says, ad hatzi hamalchut. I'm willing to give you 248. And which part am I willing to give you? Ad hatzi hamalchut v'te'as. The ma'aseh. The action. But the machshava belongs to me. That's where the battle is. Came a great rabbi called the Noda Bihuda, Rabbi Haskel Landau, and he explains the derash in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah says, "Afoch ba vehafoch ba, lekol ba." What's the interpretation of the Mishnah? You have a book in front of you. So the Mishnah says, Hafokhba, turn the pages. Hafokhba, Hafokhba. Everything's in the book. Just keep on turning the pages. You're going to find everything you want to know about life in the book. The Kol Laba says, the Bihaskel Landau, it's talking about the mitzvah. He says, there's two sides to the mitzvah. There's the side of action, and there's the side of machshava. There's the side of deed, and there's the side of thought. It's two halves. So he says, hafoch ba v'hafoch ba. You have to look at the mitzvah to make sure it has both parts. Make sure the kol ba. Make sure it's complete. But unfortunately, most of the mitzvot, b'temal ha'asayin kesherah, they cut it right down the middle. You look at one side, it's nice. Look at the other side. Hey, it's missing. Hey, where's the other side? So he says, "Hafoch ba v'hafoch ba." Turn the mitzvah both ways and make sure the kol ba. And the Satan says, "I'm not letting you. Ad hatzi hamalchut. I'll give you up to half the malchut, but I'm not giving you the whole thing. And which part do I concede? V'te'as, the ma'aseh." I want to tell you something else. This from the Benu Ari says, there's three parts of the neshama. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. That's called naran. Whenever you do a mitzvah, he says, you have to have kavanah to mitaken naran. That the mitzvah will be mitaken, will rectify the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. How, he says? He says the nefesh is over here in the liver. The ruach is in the heart, and the neshama is in the brain, as we know. So he says, when you do the mitzvah, the action, that fixes the nefesh. Because the nefesh is in the blood gets the person moving. When you say the beracha, That's the ruach. And when you have kavanah, that fixes the neshama. So every mitzvah needs nefesh, ruach, neshama. I once saw from Rabbi Shimshon Mastropoli. He says, what's the first letter of nefesh? Nun. What's the first letter of ruach?
Resh.
And what's the first letter of neshama? Nun. How much does that equal? 300. Now he says, take the last letters. What's the last letter of nefesh? She. What's the last letter of ruach? Chet. And what's the last letter of neshama? That equals 313. The first letters equal 300, and the last letters equal 313. That's tariyag. That's 613. That means the purpose of the 613 is to metaken nefesh, ruach, neshama. Most people, he writes, they fix the nefesh because they do the action, but it's the neshama that's missing. Comes the mitzvah of shekel, b'chasita shekel. If you take the word shekel, it's shin kuf lamed. That's easy. But in the shi'ur, we like to study it in a deeper level. Let's take the word shekel with the milui. That would be shin yud nun. Which, by the way, shin yud nun equals 360. Kof is kof vav peh, which is 186. And lamed mem dalid, which is 76. If you add those numbers together, 360 plus 186 plus 76, you get to the magical number 620. Lamed is 74, not 76. So it's 360, 186, 74, equals 620. What's so special about 620? I just told you there's 613 mitzvot, but there's really 620. Where are you adding the extra seven? The seven mitzvot from the rabbis. There's 613 mitzvot from the Torah, seven mitzvot from the rabbis. That's what we call somebody that fulfills the whole Torah. He merits Keter Torah. Keter equals 620. Because the Keter of the Torah has 620 settings. Every time you do a mitzvah, you put another jewel in it. When the Keter is complete, there's 620 jewels in it. That's why we make a big deal of the Ten Commandments. Because if you count how many letters are in the Ten Commandments, there's exactly 620 letters. And the Sefarim HaKadoshim write that each letter corresponds another mitzvah. That's the magic number. Somehow, as Jews, we have to try to mekayem all the 620 mitzvot to reach Keter Torah. What's the problem? Every mitzvah that we take, we split in half. We do the action, we leave the machshava. So instead of 620, we're only fulfilling half of each mitzvah. You know what half of 620 is called in the language of the Torah? Mahasita shekel. It's half of the shekel. Says the Sfarim HaKedoshim, the purpose that God says to give ma'asita shekel is because half we have already. Half of the shekels in our pocket. The action we have, the ma'asita shekel is come to being mechaper for the half that we're missing. That answers my question. I didn't know what sin it's mechaper for. Now I know what sin. It's the sin that's in the brain. That's why when the Torah introduces this parasha, what does it say? Ki tisa et rosh b'nei Yisrael. Ki tisa means when you're going to need kapara. For which part of the body you're going to need kapara for? Et rosh b'nei Yisrael. Not for the hands and the legs. They're working fine with the ayin hara. But there's going to come a time where God's going to say, you're not thinking when you're doing the mitzvot. Your mitzvot are all split in half. It's mahasit ha-shekel. So you need to bring another mahasit to make it a full shekel. Ah, maybe that's why they call it Masechet Shekalim. Because the goal is not to have a half. The goal is to take the half that's in your pocket and combine it with the half that you're bringing so your mitzvot will be complete. The half a shekel is mistaref to the other half. Oh, maybe that's why also when the pasuk writes that you're going to get kapara, what does it say? V'natenu ish kofer, kofer is kapara, kofer nafsho. When I tell you the nefesh represents, the nefesh represents the action. And therefore God says, you need kapara because all your mitzvot only have nefesh. V'natenu ish kofer nafsho. You need kapara for the nefesh. There's no neshama in your mitzvot. This also might explain why the ma'asit ha-shekel is called teruma. What does the word teruma mean? You're going to say donation. You're right. What else does the word teruma mean?
Separate.
Good. Give me another interpretation. Very good. Very good. You said separation. They said lift up.
Lift up.
Ah, that
maybe.
That maybe he's right. He's 100% right. Teruma leharim, which means God says you're doing the mitzvot without kabana. They don't go anywhere. There's no wings. So now that you have kapara, that you gave ma'azit ha-shekel, teruma la-Hashem. Now the mitzvah is able to go up. It's able to be received. But it goes further. The Sfarim HaKedoshim write that there's one day a week. There's one day a week. This is the big hadush we just said. The giving of the half a shekel was a tikkun specifically for the Rosh. Kitisat Rosh b'nei Yisrael. Lifkudehem. What does Lifkudehem mean? Simply it means for their counting, for their numbers. But Lifkudehem can also mean for what they're missing. Velo nifkad ish. Kitisat Rosh b'nei Yisrael. Lifkudehem for what they're missing. What are they missing? The Rosh. They're missing the Mashama. They're missing half a story. So the Mahazit HaShekel comes, it's half of the 620. They need to fulfill the other half. Ad hatzi malchut. But there's one day the Zohar HaKadosh writes that is the easiest day of the week to do mitzvot with kavanah. And which day is that, of course? Shabbat. Simple reason, without saying anything Kabbalistic. Why is Shabbat the easiest day to have kavanah?
No distractions.
Because when, exactly, no distractions. Go tell a person that comes to Bet Knesset to have kavanah. I could have kavanah. I'm running to work. I have a meeting at 9 o'clock. I have to be in the city. It's snowing. I have to catch a train. Now you're telling me to have kavanah 19 berachot d'amidah? Hey, I showed up. Rabbi, I came to Bet Knesset. Be happy. Now you tell me kavanot? We have kavanot. His mind is racing with all his obligations. And then in the middle of the Amidah, buzz, buzz, beeping. Oh, he cannot have kavanah. He's sitting in Daf Yomi Shi'ur. And as he's sitting in Shi'ur, he's texting, he's playing, he cannot think. His mind is on other things. So go tell a person, you have to have kavanah. What kavanah? Come Shabbat. But now you have no excuse. You're not catching a train. There's no emails. There's no text. There's no nothing. You're not late for anything. You don't have to go anywhere. There's nothing to do. Therefore, they say that Shabbat, that's the day of Mahashavot. That's why the word Mahashavot is Otiyot Mawah Shabbat. The machshavot is mawach Shabbat. On Shabbat, that's when we get our brain back. That's when we get the head back. You compare with Kavanah, you sit down and make Kiddush with Kavanah, you could learn with Kavanah, you're not distracted, as you said. And we all know that all the berachot of the week come from Shabbat. Just like the physical blessings come from Shabbat, I want to say a Hiddush tonight. Somebody will ask me, Rabbi, I want a sigula. How do you have kavanah during the week? I'll tell you, have kavanah on Shabbat for the mitzvot, and from there, it'll go to the week. How do I know? On Shabbat, all of us get something extra. Oh, neshama yitera. Where's the neshama? The brain. Because on Shabbat, since that's the easiest day of the week to have kavanah, so Borei Olam gives us an extra neshama in order that that kavanah will able to last us for the coming days. Why am I telling you this? Because you're going to ask me a question. The question you're going to ask me is, Rabbi, we don't have Ma'asit HaShekel today. Yeah, we give zecher. You give the rabbi 50 cents, take care of it for me. But the official Ma'asit HaShekel, which is the kapara, that's a Beit HaMikdash item. So you're going to say, what, today we don't have a way to come back to God with our thoughts? So that's why I present to you Shabbat. But you're going to ask me, but it doesn't say that in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Ma'asit HaShekel. And you're making for Ma'asit HaShekel Shabbat? And if I tell you it is in the Pasuk, now what are you going to tell me? And if I show you it's right in the Pasuk in front of your eyes, that Shabbat is in the Pasuk, now what are you going to say? If you take the word Rosh, it's an easy word. Resh Aleph Shin. What's the letters above Rosh that are more than Rosh? Well, what's more than Resh? Shin. What's more than Aleph? Bet. What's more than Shin? Taf. Oh. The letters that are more than Rosh is Shabbat. The Pasuk is saying, Kitisa et Rosh. Kitisa, you have to go above the Rosh. Which means, whatever we just told you that Ma'asit HaShekel does, there's an alternate method to get to the same destination. Kitisa et Rosh, when you will go above the Rosh. And that's why it says, et Rosh b'nei Yisrael. Why are we called Yisrael? Yisrael is only five letters. Yud, Sin, Resh, Aleph, Lamed. What does Yisrael stand for? Li Rosh. Ah, yeah, it works. You see, Li Rosh. That's why Yisrael is called Li Rosh. We have a head. And where does the Rosh come from? From the Shabbat. So that's where our work is. This man she Beit HaMikdash haya kayam, we had a kapara on Ma'asit HaShekel. This man she ain't Beit HaMikdash kayam, then we have to go. We have to substitute it with the Shabbat, with the Machshavot, with Mawach Shabbat. But there's something else that needs to be said. You need to learn from your enemies. We said this many times. Sometimes our enemies, they know more about our religion than the Jewish people. David HaMelech said, "Me'oyevai tehakemeni." Mitzvotecha. Sometimes the enemies have to teach you about the mitzvot. We come over here and we talk about the mitzvah Ma'asit HaShekel. Yeah, we know more or less about it. It's a kapara, it does something. You know who can give a good shiur on Ma'asit HaShekel better than all of us? Haman. Oh, he knew the Ma'asit. He knew this class? Oh, how do I know he knew the shiur? He comes along And he tells Ahasuerus he wants to kill the Jews. There's a gezerah on Am Yisrael. There's a gezerah. There's a gezerah on Am Yisrael. And Haman now is going to execute. He tells Ahasuerus, but it's going to cost money. Ahasuerus says, money? It's my pleasure. And kesef natun lach. Where do I write the check out to? He writes out a check for 10,000 talents. A lot of money. The government never has money for anything. But when it comes to killing Jews, they find the money. Then the check is in the mail. He writes the check out on the spot. The kesef natun lach. Boom, paid in full. So Haman's walking around with this check. He's going to use the money to build the concentration camps, to kill all the Jewish people in one day. To pay for the bullets, to pay for the gas, to pay for the army. He has the money. All of a sudden, he sees it's not working out. He sees the plan is it's not going his way. At a certain point, he realizes it's not going to happen. The Gemara tells us what he said. At a moment of truth, Haman says, it seems that the mitzvah of Mahasita Shekel, that the Jewish people have fulfilled, nullified all these shekels that I have in this check. Wow, wow. I mean, Haman all of a sudden is telling us that this mitzvah ma'azid ha-shekel has the ability to nullify the gezerah of Haman. What's the explanation? Because the prophet said that if you do mitzvat anashim milumada, I'm going to add to your troubles hafle vafele. And that's what happened in the times of Haman. The Jewish people were doing the mitzvot, but it was routine, it was mechanical. So Haman came up. But then the Jewish people made teshuvah. They added the other half. Now it was a full shekel. Haman says, that's it. They got the machshava back. I'm done. Now they're presenting God full shekels. Their full shekels nullifies the decrees. That means we're looking for all different tricks how to nullify bad decrees. So this one reads Shira Shirim 40 times backwards, and this one reads Tehillim upside down, and this one reads Perek Shira 35 times a day. All good things. But this is something the Gemara is telling us. Hazv Shalom, I'm not mizalzel with the Sigurot of Am Yisrael. But this is something the Gemara is telling us, that the understanding of Mahasit HaShekh is Mevatel the Gezerot. That's not a rabbi telling you, that's Haman telling it to you. Listen to your enemies when they talk. Oh, which means this season that we're in now, every season has its service. What's the service now when Adar starts? The service is to make the tikkun on the machshava. Haman said that there was a gezerah, and once they connected back to the mitzvah Mahasit HaShekel, the decree went away. And the way we're learning tonight, Ma'asit HaShekel means Kavanah and Mitzvot. That might explain what the rabbis mean when they say, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. I once asked a question. What do you mean B'Simcha? It should say Marbim Simcha. We have to increase joy. Joy is a certain level. Marbim Simcha. More joy. מה זה בשמחה? בשמחה is אותיות מחשבה. That not only מרבים בשמחה enjoy, but the joy of the mitzvot must be coupled בשמחה with מחשבה, with thought, with כוונה. Why now? Because that was the whole תיקון הפורים. The Jewish people were doing, how do I know they were doing the mitzvot? How do I know this theory is correct? Because again, listen to what Haman says. When he comes to Ahasuerus, what did he tell him? He tells him, Yeshno Amehad. There's a nation. Yeshno. The Gemara says, Mazi Yeshno, Yeshnu mina mitzvot. They're sleeping. They're sleeping. Are they keeping the mitzvot or are they not keeping the mitzvot? No, he doesn't say that. He says they're sleeping. Yeshnu mina mitzvot. What does that mean? They're doing the mitzvot in their sleep. Could you relate to that? Person comes out of the bathroom, he says, Asher Yatzar. 3 seconds later, did I say Asher Yatzar? That means he said it, he's sleepwalking. Did I make a shot call? Doesn't know. How could it mean? You did the mitzvah, you didn't do the mitzvah. Yeshnu, yeshnu b'mitzvah. They're sleeping, no head. Haman was able to pinpoint it. Haman said, we got him. As long as they're doing mitzvat anashim milumada, finish, the hafzlevafene, they'll be makot like they never saw. And all of a sudden, he saw at a certain point they made teshuvah. He saw that they connected back, the other half of the shekel came back. So he says it, he says the shekel's got me. That's why the rabbi said, when this time of Ziyah comes, marbim b'simcha, you have to be marbe b'machshava in order to reconnect. But what happens? Everybody gives reasons on Purim Day to explain the mitzvah of drinking. Some don't need to explain it. They just drink and they don't need an interpreter. They don't need a reason why to drink. They drink even if the rabbi doesn't give them a satisfactory understanding. Safek shetiyah lehakel. Some say because the parties happened over wine, so we're commemorating the drinking of wine of the parties, mishteh yayin. Others say, v'yayin yisamah, the wine makes you happy, and the Purim is supposed to be happy. Ha'yudim ha'ita urav v'simcha. But I'd like to say a novel interpretation in your honor tonight. Why we have to drink on Purim? Because we're remembering what the avon was. After a person drinks, what do we say? How long, how much do you have to drink? What's the shi'ur? Ad delo yada. Because that was the sin. The sin was ad delo yada. They had actions, but there was chaser yeda. It was chaser rosh. So you need to drink on Purim to remember this is the avon that we did. We were doing mitzvot drunk. Dry drunk, without even drinking, we're drunk. So, and that's why always, what do we do 2 weeks before Purim? Ma'asita shekel. It's the machshava. 2 weeks before that, mishneknas adar marvim b'simcha. It all works in order. And Borei Olam sends us a lot of messages. He sent us a king. What was the king's name? Ahasuerus. Borei Olam sent us a message. I could have sent you so many different anti-Semites. I sent you one that his name is Rosh. Ahasuerus. To remind Am Yisrael, that's where the tikkun has to be. Yashnu minam mitzvot. Put the head back on. They're headless. They're walking around without a head. Secret share. Put the head back. That's the secret. That's the secret of the month of Adar. That's the secret of the mitzvah of Ma'asit HaShekel. That's the secret of Shabbat Kodesh. And that's why When Borei Olam was telling Moshe about Mahasit HaShekel, Moshe didn't understand the coin. He couldn't understand, which coin are you talking about? So the Pasuk says, Zeyitenu. Give this coin. He showed him a coin. The Gemara says, he took a coin from under the Kisei HaKavod. Kimin matbeya mitahat Kisei HaKavod. And he showed him the coin. He says, this. I saw one of the rabbis ask, that's where the mint is, under the Kisei HaKavod? That's where they mint coins? Under the Kisei HaKavod? I thought they mint coins in Washington. I wouldn't think such a holy place like the Kisei HaKavod, that God has a stash underneath the Kisei HaKavod, half shekel coins. Such a holy place, you wouldn't think that that's where all the coins are being hidden. You know the answer already. What else is underneath the Kisei HaKavod? The Neshamot. All of our Neshamot come from under the Kisei HaKavod. When God took the Ma'asita Shekel from under the Kisei HaKavod, He was telling Moshe, Zeyitenu, it's to fix the Neshama. The Neshama is in the Rosh. This is the half that's missing. It's the Mitzvat Anashim Milumada. This is the part that needs to be fixed. Yeah, actions, everybody's doing actions. But put the brain back into it. Hence, the best place to take the coin from to symbolize that is Mita'at Kisei HaKavod. And this is our interpretation tonight. Now already, Ma'asit HaShekel means something. Now already, it has an application. Shekel with the milui is gematria 610. But we've cut all the mitzvot in half. Because we only do them, we don't think about them. And therefore we need to put the other ma'asit, and then we have masechet shekalim. Now we have a complete shekel. The goal is not to have a half a shekel in the pocket. The goal is to have the full mitzvah. And then be'azrat Hashem. Once we fulfill the mitzvot, then the prophet says there's no more hamanim, there's no more satanim, there's no more hashverosh. And that's the tikkun of Adde Lo Yada. And that's what destroys hashverosh. Ki tisa et rosh b'nei Yisrael. You need to atone for the rosh of b'nei Yisrael, lifkudehem, for what they're missing. And then when you do that, teruma l'Hashem. Then the mitzvot are able. And that's when the Beit HaMikdash is kayam. And when the Beit HaMikdash is not kayam, ki tisa et rosh, go to the letters that are above rosh. That's already Shabbat. Then already on Shabbat Kodesh, when you have an extra neshama, which is in the rosh, God gives you the ability to be free from all the preoccupation and do the mitzvot, and that will carry you for the rest of the week as well. All the berachot of the week stem from the Shabbat. We shouldn't be less smart, we shouldn't be less intellectual than from our great enemy Haman. If he knew the secret, then we must fulfill it. Tonight we say, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, B'Simcha's Otiyot Machshava. And then Be'azat Hashem will be fulfilled on us. V'nahafochu, God will turn around all the world events. Asher yishlitu ha-Yehudim himma b'sonehem. That Borei Olam will give us the ability that we could rule over our enemies. But that only comes after the mitzvot are complete. And that's why the Pasuk says, and we say it on Rosh Hashanah, She'niyeh le'rosh. And that's why the great holiday of judgment is called Rosh Hashanah, because the judgment is on what's in the Rosh, not only the actions. And will be fulfilled on us, Layhudim, Ayta, Ora, Besimcha, Besason, Vikar, Amen, Amen. Be Ananyam, Berkashah, Omer, Sabah, Gosh, Gosh, Yisrael, Defikhan, Irba, Lehem, Tosh, Shreem, Ha'ofet, Sama'an, Tzedko, Yagdir, Torah, V'yadir.